everyone gathered in here. We thank you for clarity of touching your word, in learning to forgive and to walk in the spirit of love. Thank you for revelation knowledge for touching this. And we believe that we're receiving and walking in the light of your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be continuing with our conversation as touching walking in love, which, you know, our emphasis will be on dealing with offenses. Today I wanted to share something very important in that regard. So we're going to be continuing on the same conversation. I made us understand that once we walk together, there are going to be tendencies of offenses. But we also must know how to handle these offenses when they come. We read Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. That tells us how that we should be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And so we're going to be very smart to imitate Christ, of whom we are of. We saw that the nature of Christ forgiving sin, or the nature of Christ forgiving us our sin, is the same nature we ought to forgive others from a place of love. The same mercy Christ meted unto us is the same mercy we mete out unto others. And in Hebrews 8:12, we saw how that Christ will be merciful to our unrighteousness, and how that our sins and our iniquities he will remember no more. We also read from Hebrews 10:17 how that he reiterates the fact that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And so we are going to, like Christ forgave us, forgive others when they offend us. You know, one time I was walking with somebody, and I told the person, forgive this fellow. And the person said, but it's very difficult. I've had this question actually come to me a couple of times. And I told, you know, this fellow, I said, you know, it's more difficult walking in the flesh than walking in the spirit. It means that it's more difficult to not walk in love than to walk in love. Why? Because love is our nature. Imagine you taking a fish out of its pond. or you take a fish out of its water. It's quite uncomfortable, very uncomfortable actually. It leads to its death many of the times. And that's what exactly happens to us when we do not walk in that nature that Christ has given us, imparted to us by His Spirit. So I just came to tell someone, we're continuing on our teaching. Once you have a brother, he's going to offend you. Once you have a sister, she's going to offend you. Once you have a mother, probably going to offend you. Once you have a father, it's probably going to offend you. But what are we? We're love beings, aren't we? It means that we're going to be prone to walking in love all the time. And how we do that is that we learn to forgive. Just as Christ forgave us our sin. You know, many times some of us act very sadly. We act very sadly. As though we were never born again. I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 18. Let me show you something in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read an interesting story. I think I would want this in the NLT version. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to start reading from verses 21 all the way to somewhere around 35. Then Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times. Peter, that guy was a headstrong guy. You know, so he wants to know, how many times should I forgive somebody? And afterwards, I can cut their heads off. So he's asking, is it 7 times? Now, Jesus replied, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Now, 70 times 7 is not how you should forgive everybody that has sinned against you. No, it's how you should forgive someone in a day. Because he asked that in a day, right? So, how many times are we supposed to forgive someone in a day? That's about 490 times. Pretty much of an interesting. So, another fresh day is another 490 times. That's why the mercies and the love of God are new every morning. So Peter is wanting to know, if any of my brothers hurt me, how many times am I supposed to forgive them? It says 70 times 7. Now, actually, this was pretty much under, you know, a circumstance of okay, let me not go ahead of myself. So he says 70 times 7, which makes 490. Then look what happens again. He's saying that, therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. So, checks and balances. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. The NLT version puts it very interestingly. So he says, there was one of the debtors that owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, I will pay it all. Then the master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave him his debt. $1 million, not $10,000, $1 million. In fact, it's actually millions. So let's say 10 million. That's what he owed. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. Millions. They had mercy on you. They left your wife, they left your children, they left your kids, they left your properties because the man was moved with compassion and with pity. You left. You went to see a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him in the throat, demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. Now listen to this. A cruel man. He had the man arrested, put in prison until the debt could be fully paid. Or until the debt could be paid in full. Oh. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant? Just as I had mercy on you. So Jesus is painting out this story. And it's the same in the epistles. We're reading the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Jesus in the parable calls him an evil servant. He says, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Wow. Beautiful story. You fornicated, sinned, lied, stole people's things, allowed anger set, the sun set on your anger. God told you to do things you didn't do. He gave you instructions you never heeded. Told you to pray you never prayed. All of these ones, he had mercy on you. Then another brother flouts you a bit, and you say you can't forgive. While we all were still in misery and we were all still in sin, Christ died for us because of his great love for us. Today you say you can't forgive somebody. Today you say you can't put up with somebody. Today you say you just don't know, you just hate the person. God is looking at you. Now, the law actually warrants forgiveness of others before they're forgiven, actually. You know, Jesus doesn't. But it paints a very good picture of how that we ought to walk in this forgiveness. I've had people walking in so much pain. I'll never forgive my father. I'll never forgive my father. Why wouldn't you? My father abandoned me ever since I was a child. He didn't take care of me. I'll never forgive him. No. Just as Christ forgave you, you extend that forgiveness to your father. Just as Christ forgave you, you extend that same forgiveness to your mother, to your siblings, to your father. So, whenever you see a man walking in unforgiveness, I can tell you what's happening in his life. He's simply one that lacks appreciation of the gift of God's forgiveness. You don't regard it. Your roommates drank your milk. So that's how you never forgive him or her. No. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Even as Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted one to another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Give out mercy so you can receive mercy. Of course, not from God, because he's poured out his mercy, but from others. You cannot have a very rigid life of wanting everybody to do things the way you want them to do it. Not everybody will do things the way you want them to do it. Not everyone. To be full of forgiveness. So Paul is teaching us that what God has done for the believer should do the same for other people, right? Yes. And he can do same for other people. Unforgiveness will make you sick. To make you sick. I found out one of the greatest causes of unforgiveness, spiritual causes of unforgiveness, according to one of the all-time best healers, one of the best all-time healers, it's cancer. Yeah. So you, in every, or in majority of cancerous patients, you will find out that they harbor something against someone, they hold something against someone. There's something that's just holding on to. Yes, this one is, they don't find it in medicine. You know. So don't hold on things to people. I mean, don't hold on to things that people have done to you. Forgive. And yesterday I explained to you what it means to forgive and forget, right? I told you that forgetting means you cannot remember. It's not necessarily like you lose memory of what has been done. No, it means you don't take account of it. Even when you remember, you don't take account of it. You don't say it as though it was still present, right? It doesn't bring back the hurt. Doesn't bring back the pain. Shouldn't do that, right? You don't go back to explaining and expounding it again and again to state your emphasis. No, you almost treat it as though it never happened, even though you can recall that it happened. That's not taken into account. So you must learn this. You must learn it. You must learn it. You must learn it. Once you're married, you would need to forgive. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not 20 times, almost every time. You must learn it. Now, how would you do this? Colossians 3:13. Let it go. Let it go. Let's be a happy, joyful people. Forbearing one another. Forbearing. 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 Forbearing, which means to bear something. You're able to carry. Listen to what he says more in Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another, carrying one another, right? You know, it implies that, you know, something will be born. You're able to carry it. You're able to put up with it. So he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, hey, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Yes. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. Or so also do ye. So that's your roommate, forbear. That's your sibling, forbear. That auntie, forbear. That's your friend, forbear, and forgive. It says, if anyone has a quarrel against you, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do the same thing. Forgive. You know, some people will say, I will never forgive this person. You're slowly hurting yourself. You're definitely not walking in God's light or God's word. I will never and ever forgive this person for what the person has done to me. Forgive. Forgive. The person really hurt me so bad. Forgive. Forbear. Let it go. It hurts me. I can't seem to know. Forgive, 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 even as Christ forgave you. You liked someone, the person didn't like you. Forgive, forgive. Not everybody likes you when you like them. Not everybody likes you when you like them. See, he was the first person that introduced me, and he used me, and he left me. He broke my virginity. He did this. He did forgive as Christ forgave you. Let it go. So that you can be free. And so that you can serve God. And so that the power of God can be experienced in your life. Let it go. Let it go. And when you remember, take no account of it. Take no account of it. You know, a few weeks ago, I heard the voice of God very clear. And he said, I'm making you a father. Yes, the Lord told me that. And I said, that means more room for forgiveness. I had to advise myself. Because as a father, you will not have all good sons. Nope. Nope, you wouldn't. There just might be a few bad nuts in there. That's why a true father will not curse anybody. Yes, because it's all part of fatherhood. Yes. Yes. Just believe the best and pray for them, that's all. You see, there's some fooling power. You can see that he's fooling power, but you are just quiet. Composure. You're keeping your steed. You're watching quietly. Yes. You see them as your children. That's how you look at them. If you look at them like your colleagues or something, you are not going to be able to help them. you're not going to be able to help them. Just see them like that. Because they definitely will err. They will. They sure will. They sure will. I remember someone sending me, a couple of people sent me a message, Pastor, please, we couldn't call you because, Pastor, please, we couldn't. She said, someone also said, Pastor, please, I couldn't do this because I went to do this. I said, no. When you do this, come home. Come home. Right? You mess up means come home. You don't understand something means come home. Something is bothering you means come home. That's what fatherhood is about. Something that you don't understand means come home. You don't get it, come home. Something's worrying you, talk. Come home. Don't keep it to yourself. It's not my responsibility to tear down. My responsibility is to build. It's not to destroy. Even as much as I have the power to destroy and to tear down. Yes, because God tells Jeremiah that. He tells him, I'm giving you the power to tear down, to pull down, to raise, and to plant, and to build. But that's another context. It's not to tear down. It's not to destroy. It's not to speak against. So this runs through, no matter where you are, whether you're a leader, or you're a follower, whatever it is, wherever position you find yourself, there's a need to forgive. There is that need. You can't do with it. You can't do with it. I mean, you can't do without it. People will say something that you didn't say. They'll point hands at you. But you need to forgive. You need to forgive. So begin to look around you. Who must you forgive? We're going to do a work. Who is it that you must forgive? Who is it? Who is it that you must forgive? You know them. If you don't know them, ask the Holy Spirit. He will remind you. That's what he can remind. That's his duty. That should be John 16, 14 or so. Yeah. Who must you forgive? Person said something you didn't like, said something to you that didn't settle down with you, accused you wrongly, treated you badly, hurt you, left you, despised you. Who must you forgive? You were looking for help. The person didn't give you help. Because of that, you suffered in a certain way you think you shouldn't have suffered. Think about it. And whoever it is, God wants you to forgive. Some of you got into relationships you didn't get into. You shouldn't have gotten into. You ended up getting hurt. Forgive. 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 And whenever you think about it, take no account. Right? Take no account. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we're walking in love. Thank you for your grace to do your word and to act on it just as we hear it. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for everything that you do. And right from this moment, in Jesus' name, we're letting go of anything in the similitude of unforgiveness. We know that this is a weight too, and so we lay aside every weight, and a sin too, and so we lay aside every sin that easily besets us. From this evening, we run this race of a walk with you with endurance, and we look to you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, in Jesus' name, we also lay aside superfluity of naughtiness and all forms of filthiness, and we receive with great meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls, in Jesus' name. We are prayed. Amen. You know, I just received an instruction from the Lord, and I want to tell you, there's somebody listening to me. Aside everything that I'm saying to you, you still end up repeating things in your mind and in your heart of words like, you don't really know how difficult this is. Listen, you're being stupid. You're not listening. And you will have room to continually carry whatever burden you carry. You better listen. That's how you're going to be saying. Don't have statements like, you don't know how difficult it is. You don't know how this person hurts me. Don't be stupid. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.